For more than a decade, Julia Angwin led a privacy investigation team for the Wall Street Journal. She was also part of the team that won a Pulitzer Prize for coverage of corporate corruption. In other words, she has a deep insider's knowledge of who's watching you, what they know, and why it matters. A few months ago, I spoke with Julia about the surveillance economy and the steps she takes to protect her data, as well as the price she pays for privacy, which was upwards of $2,500 last year. Here's what she had to say.
I mean, some of my steps were free, I would like to point out. So I did use, for instance, free software that protects my web browsing from being tracked by the advertisers that want to track you online. And I used some free software that anonymizes your location. It's called Tor, and basically makes it look like you're browsing from some place where you're not. But I also had to spend a lot of money on things that were very expensive. I got a separate phone, a burner phone that wasn't in my name, because essentially my phone is the perfect tracking device, and having it with me all the time, I realized that there wasn't that much I could do about it other than remove my name from it. So I basically got a phone paid with a fake name, and so that was very expensive to have a separate phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, similarly, I got a cloud. Instead of using Google Docs, I paid $200 for an encrypted cloud service where the data is encrypted and only I can unlock it. So the company that stores it doesn't have any access to looking at it.
Mm-hmm. You paid for a privacy filter to shield your laptop screen from other voyeurs, a subscription for a portable internet service to bypass untrusted connections, $5 a month service to give you disposable email name and address. You're introducing many readers to the personal data protection market. Is this a reliable market yet? You found that some of them were not so.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate. This is a very new market, and I was thrilled to find that there were companies that would sell me some privacy products. But then I was really disappointed when some of them didn't pan out. So, for instance, I paid this company, Trusted ID, $35 to opt me out of the biggest data brokers, mostly because these companies make it very difficult to remove your data from them, and they're not well-known companies. And I thought, these people had a service. It might be easier than me sitting here and faxing them my driver's license and whatever else they wanted.
Hmm.
But the problem was I paid the money, I waited a couple months, and then I thought, I wonder if this worked. How can I check? There's not really a way to check because these data brokers don't actually offer you access to your data. So essentially I called them as a reporter, each one, and said, did you opt me out? And unfortunately, I had been opted out of less than half of them.
You're an award-winning investigative reporter, Julia, but you carry a burner phone and a wallet lined with metallic film. I mean, should the rest of us be concerned or even scared?
I mean, I think that it's important for people to figure out what they're worried about and focus on that threat. You know, I sort of tried to address a whole range of threats so that people could sort of see what it took to protect their privacy. So on the phone front, I used the burner phone. I also had a bag that I put my phone in that blocks all the signals. You know, but some people might prefer what I did online in terms of switching off of Google search onto another search engine, DuckDuckGo. That might be the thing they're more concerned about, that their searches are not stored forever. So I hope that people will think about it and realize that whatever the thing they're worried about, there is probably a choice.
And that's Julia Angwin, author of the book Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance.